Please stand clear of the doors. Next stop, Poetry Cafe on your local community radio station, 91.9 FM The Cave. Enjoy your ride.
Welcome, cave listeners, to another edition of Poetry Cafe. As you know, this show is all about the spoken word, with great classic, slam, and contemporary works picked especially for you by me, your host, Laura. We've got a great show coming up. I'm very excited because it has a theme. Yes, rarely do I do themed poetry cafes, but I thought I'd do a little branching out. You know, I happened to come across a great batch of poems that combined will make for a wicked half hour. Now, today's poetry cafe is going to revolve all around women, the pressures that they face living in the world, what it's like for a young woman in today's society to come of age. Many of the poems are going to deal with a lot of heavy material. Themes of violence against women, sexual assault, body image, self-esteem. Don't find this daunting though, cave listeners, because although these poems may be difficult to hear, they're a real treat, and I picked them especially because of how they made me feel afterwards. Some of them are real eye-openers, and they address issues that we as a society aren't always willing to face, and it's this kind of poetry that's the most powerful of all. First up, we've got a great poem by the incredibly talented Ellen Mabee. It's called Picasso, and it's from her latest album, Rodeo for the Sheepish. I found that the first time I heard this poem, what drew me in was the imagery she uses to illustrate her message of how different eras embrace different types of women. I know you'll enjoy it, so without further ado, here is Ellen Mabee with Picasso.
Outside to find out what Picasso called each work. I like titles, their vocabulary of oil. The girl on the rock whispered to me, "Go, girl." I love museums. Call me old-fashioned, but I like face-to-face conversations.
What I like is face-to-face conversations with you.
This is Poetry Cafe on 91.9 FM, The Cave. Alrighty, if you're just tuning in, that was Ellen Mabee with her beautifully visual poem Picasso. It's off of her latest album, Rodeo for the Sheepish, which has actually really taken off. It's gone pretty mainstream, and that's kind of rare for a poetry album, but it's welcome nonetheless because it's always great when a poet finally gets the acclaim that they deserve. I love the way she starts out this poem, talking to Picasso about a year that finally accepts her body. She talks about the pressures and judgments that many women face in society that didn't always exist in Picasso's time. And it's a shame, too, because I mean every woman in every era has faced some sort of problem. For example, in Victorian times, if you weren't pale and strapped into a corset, well then you just weren't acceptable. If you've never seen this style of painting, Picasso's style, he often painted these curvy, gorgeous women in the style of cubism, so it's all very Rubenesque, and it just harkens back to a time when society was more accepting of different body types. I mean, like I said, we've always had our issues being 100% accepting, but at the same time, in this age of, you know, magazines toting crash diets and anorexic models, I feel like we've lost a bit of beauty that we had and what we viewed as beautiful, and that's a real shame. Up next, I have a great poem for you guys, but I have to warn you, it might be a little hard to listen to. It does deal with issues of rape and violence against women, and it doesn't hold back. The major themes of this next piece are blame and guilt and where society places it, often many times in all the wrong places. So hold on to your hats, folks, because you're about to be wowed by the talented Sierra DeMulder with Paper Dolls.
We are taught from the moment we leave our pink nurseries that we are collapsible paper dolls. Light to hold, easier to crumple, that as women, our worth lives secretly wrapped in lace and cotton panties, our fragility armored with pepper spray and mace. They say 1 in 10, 1 in 6, 1 in 3 women will be raped or sexually abused in their lifetime, and I am one of 3 daughters. Now imagine, each victim is an acrobat, her sanity a balancing act. Our response is the unfailing safety net. We never expect to see her across the wire. You weren't just violated, we tell her. You are an empty museum, a gutted monument to what used to hold so much worth. And with the best intentions, we tell her to reclaim it. Put a price tag on her rape and own it, but don't stand too tall, don't act too strong. We will name you denial. Come back when you're ready to crumble, like your bones are made of chalk. You may only laugh cutely or cry beautifully. So cry beautifully, we will catch you. We are calling it theft, as if he could pluck open your ribs like cello strings, pocket your breasts, steal what makes your heart flutter and tack its wings to his wall. Some days you will feel dirty. Some weeks you'll remember just how hard it is to breathe in public, like your heartbeat is climbing to the attic of your throat only to suicide itself on the pavement. But know this, the person who did this to you is broken, not you. The person who did this to you is out there somewhere, choking on the glass of his chest. It is a windshield, and his heartbeat is a baseball bat. Regret this, regret this. Nothing was stolen from you. Your body is not a hand-me-down. There is nothing that sits inside you holding your worth. No locket that can be seen or touched from your stomach to be left on the concrete. And I know it's hard to feel perfect when you can't tell an Adam's apple from a fist because some ashtray of a man picked you to play his Eden, but I will not watch you collapse.
This is Poetry Cafe on 91.9 FM, The Cave. And now that we're all remembering to breathe again, that was Sierra DeMulder with her hauntingly honest poem, Paper Dolls. Now, this woman has just recently burst onto the poetry scene. Last year, in fact, she was a part of the 2009 National Poetry Slam team from St. Paul, Minnesota. And I have to say, the guilt and pain that Miss DeMulder unravels with her words, I always get a little teary when I hear the line, "We tell her that you're an empty museum, a gutted monument that used to hold so much worth." I've often wondered that for a society that condemns rape and all forms of sexual assault, then why do these atrocities still happen at the rate that they do? 1 in 3 women. My mom actually tells me that when she was young, the statistics said 1 in 4. And I'm not really sure if that means it's increasing or it just means it's being reported more. And this fact, no matter what, still shakes me. I mean, Sierra talks about how we tell them that they must rebuild themselves, how women are empty, these monsters take away your everything. That we're paper dolls whose virginity seems to be part of our net value, like objects or a house. The question is, why should society and these monsters calculate a woman's worth and their appeal, how they feel, by others' messed up actions? If you liked this poem, you can order Sierra's latest book, called Bones Below, off of the publishing website writebloody.com. I find that it's a goldmine for modern and contemporary poets and slam poetry. It's a publishing company owned and operated by Derek Brown, who's a poet himself, and it's a very interactive community for the poets. They're all friends, and honestly, if you can get poems off of this website, if you can order the books and the audio CDs and stuff, I suggest you do it because it's the best way for the poets to get the most money. They'll get more money from these sales out of their publishing websites than they will, say, iTunes or Amazon.com. So I always suggest, if you love the poet, support them that way. It's just a great way to say thanks for, you know, brightening my day with your awesome words. So this last poem that we just heard and the poem up next, I plan to play together for a reason. They're both about sexual assault, but unlike the last poem, which was almost a letter to the survivors, this one recalls the personal experiences of the poet. If you listen to my poetry cafes regularly, you'll know I play a lot from this amazing woman. This poem is a little more graphic than the last. It is a lot harder, and it speaks of the silence some women keep to protect their families and themselves. These kind of secrets are sometimes kept for fear of telling and what it'll mean. That kind of burden is really hard to bear. So here is Andrea Gibson reciting a poem off of her 2009 album Yellowbird. This is Trellis.
There is a reason my body creaks like a closing casket every time I fuck with the lights left on. It is the same reason my friend sets fire to photographs of birds and follows the smoke with pleading eyes. We both had years when the phoenix didn't rise. When we slept in beds of cindered feathers and held hollow ashen beaks the way other kids hold ice cream cones, I sucked the bones of a songbird's rotting wing. And you think your pills are gonna fix me, doctor? You think I'm gonna chase this down with water, the shame as loud as his next girl's nightmares? I tied my tongue like laces in my baby brother's shoes, like a bow around a gift I gave to my father and mother, and my silence equaled every Christmas morning where we were still happy and grateful, but my silence was also his next girl's eyes, falling like timber where no one chose to hear, her roots ripped up, her ground eroding to the din of an old man's zipper. 20 years later, I wake in damp sheets, my body trembling to the ghost of her voice cracking like a frozen lake, and I don't even know her name. Never saw her face, only heard the rumor that he'd moved on to the hemorrhage of another perfect thing. And now here I sing through cinder, through microphones raised like white flags in war zones, through poems I have dug from my throat like fishing hooks. From here I look back at my voice lowered to half-mast, how he must have stood there with his dirty hand on his dirty heart, laughing like a broken levee as his next girl woke with body bags beneath her eyes and enough shame in her gut to give the hurricane her own name. If I could see her face, if I could face the eye of her storm, how would I ever tell her that I speak for a living? Would I offer my own wounds as condolence? Would I say his claws carved me animal? Would I say at 14 years old I threw my bloody fists into my boyfriend's face till his eyes swelled shut and his tears turned crimson and his jaw cracked till I was finally convinced his hands were not every man's hands? Would I tell her I have stood beneath street lamps waiting for the swarming flies to identify my body as carcass, to swallow every cell of salt and leave nothing behind but the trellis of my untouched bones? I remember the fault lines in the corners of his eyes, the way he shook hands with my father, the look on his face beneath the swollen sun. Even his shadow looked guilty. The concrete made crime scene by his touch. Would I tell her this? Would I ask if she has ever outlined her own body in shock? Is there yellow tape in your top dresser drawer for those nights when your true love's kiss is an anthem to a dead country, and you find yourself with rope burns around your neck, begging the bodies of strangers to not respect you in the morning? In the morning, I shovel my blood from the white snow. I wipe my frantic breath from the window, and I bind my breast so that something will hold my breath so tight not even the air in my lungs could be identified as woman. Woman, are you a carbon copy of myself? Is there a boy inside you painting his cells with the charcoal of cindered feathers so he will never again glow in the dark the way girls do? Woman, if I knew your name, if I could face the eye of your storm and the warning locked in my voice box that never came, would I tell you all of this? And after that, would I ever find the nerve to admit that even if I could, I wouldn't take my silence back? My father owned a gun. He would have blown that man apart. My mother owned a mother's heart. Everything would have broken. Everything but you.
You are currently listening to CKVI 91.9 The Cave, Kingston's In Sound from the Underground. Enjoy your ride.
Welcome back to Poetry Cafe. This is Laura, and you just heard the unbelievably powerful and unforgettable poem Trellis by Andrea Gibson. The first time I actually listened to this poem, I just sat for like 5 minutes afterwards, the words just lingering in my mind. It deals with so many issues that we, as a whole, are just unwilling to face. And the most prominent theme to me of this poem is just silence. The silence survivors of abuse often keep to ensure the safety and happiness of their family, like Andrea explains in this poem. When she compares herself now to then and how she speaks for a living, but then she kept her silence, and because of that, she now has a guilty conscience because the man who molested her did the same to another girl afterwards, and it's so sad that that guilt even exists. I was actually torn between two of Andrea's poems, deciding which one to showcase in this episode, and I wish I could have played them both, but alas, there was not enough time, so I had to pick one. The other one, in case you're interested, is called Blue Blanket, and you can give it a listen on YouTube. There's a couple clips of her performing it live, and you can also buy it. It's a track on one of her older albums, Swarm, which you can buy off Andrea's website, and you can also download it off of iTunes if you just want the one song. If you want to know more about Andrea Gibson, you can follow her on Facebook or Twitter. She keeps both of those profiles up to date, or you could visit her website, www.andreagibson.org. She also has a MySpace page, which is, of course, myspace.com/AndreaGibson. And I think I've covered all of those media outlets. She definitely is very good at getting herself out there. She has a lot of media exposure and a lot of fan bases all over North America and in Europe, so she's gotta, I suppose, keep those internet sites up and running. Now, if you're lucky enough, you may be able to catch a live performance of Andrea sometime, as she does tour for the majority of the year. She tours constantly across America and sometimes ventures north of the border, so keep your eyes and ears peeled for, you know, her constant tour updates. I know I do, and I'm keeping my fingers crossed for a Toronto visit. Now the next poem takes on a bit of a lighter note, although it is just as strong a poem as our last ones. It's all about what it's like for a young girl in Western society coming of age. What happens when a girl reaches this magic age? Well, we go bra shopping. This poem recalls a personal memory from the poet on her first bra shopping experience, a tale she tells with a lot of passion and humor and just a little bit of irritation. I love this poem because it showcases the discomfort and fear that many young girls may have, stumbling upon to the strange adult world of underwire and lace. So here it is, the amazing Parnesia Jones with her piece Bra Shopping on your local community radio station, CKVI 91.9 FM The Cave.
Bra Shopping. Saturday afternoon, Marshall Fields, second floor, women's lingerie department. Mama and I enter into no man's, and I mean no man in sight land, of frilly lace, nightgowns, grandma panties, and support everything. A wall covered with hundreds of white bras, some with lace, ribbons, and frills, like party favors, as if bras are a cause for celebration. Some have these dainty, ditzy bows in the middle. That's a nice accent, don't you think? Mama says. Isn't that cute? Like a dumb bow in the middle of the bra will take away some of the attention from the two looming, bulging issues. Suddenly, a little woman with glasses attached to a chain around her neck, who cares way too much about bras, appears. What size is she? She asks. You want something with support, honey, winking at me. My mother looks straight at my chest. Oh, she's a good size. She's out of that training bra phase. I want her to have a bra that will hold the men proper. Them? Them, she says. Like they're two midgets I keep strapped to my chest. I stand there while these two women, one my own kin, discuss the maintenance and storage of my two dependents. We enter the dressing room where mirrors are waiting to laugh at me. There are women running in and out half naked with things showing that I hope to never see on my own body. I stand there wasting away in a sea of bras, feeling like a rag doll under interrogation, with Mama on one side and the bra woman on the other, fixing straps, poking me, snapping the back, underwire begins to dig my breasts a grave. The bra shapes my breasts into pristine bullets. No movement, no pulse, no life. Just sitting there like shelves. After we are halfway through the bra inventory, we check out. Oh, honey, you pick some beautiful bras, the bra lady says. Remember, hand wash. How about burned and buried, I think to myself. The bra lady and my mother discuss how the bras fit just right and will do the trick with no bouncing at all. Mama thanks the lady for torturing me, and we leave the nightmare that is the bra department. My mother turns and looks at me. Now really, was that so bad?
You are currently having the almost imponderable joy of listening to Poetry Cafe here at the coolest radio station around, 91.9 FM The Cave.
Welcome back. You're listening to Poetry Cafe with your host, Laura. The poem you just heard was called Bra Shopping by the very talented Parnesia Jones. And I just love the way Miss Jones has such horror and disgust in this poem. Like, how dare these people size her up and force her into this uncomfortable world of womanhood? I really liked how she drew a lot of comparisons between how society can be like a bra for women at times, restraining, uncomfortable, and desires to keep you in your place. I actually found this poem in the library in the Isabel Turner branch whilst poetry hunting amongst the shelves. It was in the teen section, and there's a book called Poetry Speaks, Who I Am. And it's a collection of poems, I believe, designed to sort of show youth how great poetry can be, especially teenagers. It has a lot of great stuff, and in the back there was a CD that had some of the poems in the book recorded by the poets themselves. So I found it great listening to that, and I definitely suggest you check out your local library because you might be a little surprised at what poetry you find there. We're reaching the end of our show, unfortunately. I hope you have enjoyed this edition of Poetry Cafe, themed, of course, about women in society. We've heard a lot of great poems today, so just to recap, there was Picasso by the unique and spirited Ellen Mabee, Paper Dolls by Sierra DeMolder, Trellis by Andrea Gibson, and Bra Shopping by Parnesia Jones. I'll leave you with one last poem before we go. It's all about how women are powerful and beautiful creatures, who often hold up the world much like the Greek myth of Atlas. There's a little foreshadowing for you. After this, don't go anywhere and keep it locked to the cave for more great music and shows.
Up next is Molly Peacock with her great poem, Good Girl. This is Laura, and I hope you guys have a wonderful rest of the day.
Good girl. Hold up the universe, good girl. Hold up the tent that is the sky of your world at which you are the narrow center pole, good girl. Rupture is the enemy. Keep all whole. The itch to be yourself, plump and bending, below a sky unending, held up by God forever, is denied by you as central control. Sever yourself, poor false Atlas, poor Atlas. Lie recumbent below the sky. Nothing falls down except you, luscious and limited on the ground, holding everything up, always on your own, creates a loneliness so profound you are nothing but a column, good girl, a temple ruin against a sky held up by forces beyond you. Let yourself curl up, a fleshy fetal figure cupped about its own vibrant soul. You are the universe about its pole. God's not far.
We are now leaving Poetry Cafe. This has been the CKVI 91.9 FM Cave Train. Stay tuned for your local news.